All right. Thank you, everyone. And I'd like to go ahead and get started.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks. That was from the album Islands of Light. It was called Emerging Jewel.
Like
that. Thank you. Yeah. Great to see you all. And we'll go ahead and get started. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are delighted to be starting our first Thursday of the month meditation on November 2nd, 2023. And Madeline and I are leaving the day after tomorrow on a 5-month lecture tour. So we have been really busy the last week, and especially today. I just finished packing. We have to put most of our books and art and CDs and everything on the roof of the little tiny microvan that we're going in. And so I've been doing that. And then getting our food forest, our 76 fruit trees, have to all be taken care of before we go. And all the irrigation we have, I don't know, we're up to now, I think, 6 different irrigation systems, timers, get them all set up and everything. So anyway, it's great to be able to join with you and to tell you about our upcoming plans. I'll just, a few people are just still coming in here, so I wanted to just say, if you would like to know where we're going to be the next 5 months, you can always check worldpeacediet.com and look on the upcoming events page. And I think we're going to be visiting some of you, I think. Yeah, I know Judy's here. We'll be heading to, we're heading to Reno Saturday, and then it's really great. Then Salt Lake City and Moab and, Carbondale. Moab, Utah, Carbondale, Colorado. They both just ran feature articles in their local newspaper about our event and also in the radio. So it's like, it's kind of fun to do it in smaller towns. They make a big deal. And then we'll be in Denver and Boulder, and then in Wichita, one of our favorite little towns, and then in Lawrence with Judy and Michael, and then also Kansas City, and then Columbia, and then over to St. Louis, and then over to Cincinnati, where we have lots of World Peace Diet people. For years, we did an annual gathering there. And a lot of people went through the World Peace Diet training in Cincinnati. So we'll be there, and then up to Cleveland, and then Columbus, and then we were invited up to New Jersey and New York City, but we decided not to at that time of year. It'll be early December, so we'll be going down to Washington, D.C., and then south, down through Virginia Beach, and you see Raleigh, and Asheville, and Hickory, and Wilmington, and Savannah, Charleston, down into Florida by mid-December, visiting my sister in Orlando area, and then visiting Lisa Wong. There she is. Lisa, I'll make you co-host so you can help out here. Thank you. And down in South Florida, and at Hippocrates Health Institute. We'll be there for about a month and a half. That's the plan anyway. And then down to Key West, we have a lot of stuff booked in Florida, all over the place, Fort Myers, and then coming back through Texas and Arizona in March and April. So thanks again. So I think we're ready to go ahead and get started. Looks like we've got a good gathering, a sangha. You know the word sangha? This is our sangha. I'm cutting out a bit. It says, all right, so thanks, Christina. Well, you know what? I can't do anything about it, so hopefully it won't continue. And let's see. Yeah, Sangha is the Sanskrit word that means community of aspirants on the spiritual path. So in the Buddhist tradition, there are 3 jewels that are essential to everything, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So the Buddha represents our awakened nature. The Dharma represents the teachings that help us to awaken. And the Sangha is the community. And I love the saying by the Buddha. He said, without the Sangha, there will never be any Buddha or any Dharma. So really, the Sangha is critical. Everything we can do to contribute to not only our own awakening, but to help others is critically important. All right, so we'll go ahead and jump into the meditation, and then we'll come back afterwards. As you all know who've been here before, this is an open one. The third Thursday is closed, but this is open. And we only go for an hour maximum. And so we'll go ahead. We usually do a little bit more extended meditation here at the beginning. And I'm so glad this is the last time in 5 months I'll be able to play our wonderful piano, Yuma. So I'm sitting here at the piano. All right, here we go. I'll go ahead and get started. And everybody should be muted, hopefully. If you're not muted, please mute yourself just so things are quiet. That would be good. And that looks good. All right, here we go. Let's become aware of our breathing. Allowing ourselves to deepen our breath. Take nice deep breaths. With every exhalation, allowing ourselves to relax into this present moment abiding in the awareness of gratitude. Giving thanks for all the blessings we have experienced in our life, all the people who have helped to shine the light of wisdom, of kindness and caring, sending heartfelt sense of appreciation to all of those who come into our mind and heart now, who have shared their presence in our life. From the time we were born and we were vulnerable, all the way till now, there had been many moments of kindness and many moments of light entering into our life from other human beings. So we give thanks for all of these precious experiences and for all of those who channeled the light of love and awareness and kindness and respect and caring for us. And also, some of these beings may have been animals. So we send a feeling of gratitude and appreciation to all of the animals who by their presence have brought light and joy and understanding and wisdom to our life. happy wherever they are. And giving thanks to all of those influences in our life, through books or through movies or music, through relationships, that have helped us to understand more deeply the truth of being, the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. And so we give thanks, especially now, to this beautiful earth where we are abiding for a very short time, for this whole stage where we enact our part. Interact with the other players, blessing and learning, contributing, sharing. Behold now this earth in her true aspect as a radiant, beautiful, infinitely intelligent manifestation of divine love, radiating always harmony and peace and joy and freedom to all the inhabitants here. And we see the whole human family awakening out of delusion, awakening out of conflict and domination and exploitation of others, and laying down their weapons, laying down their steak knives, laying down the instruments of violence, and emerging into the light of freedom. Awakening from the dream, from the illusion, understanding that what we are was never born and will never die, is a manifestation of the infinite and eternal consciousness that is the source of all life. It vivifies this expression of life with which we identify for a few decades. And we give thanks knowing that every function of this physical vehicle that we occupy, apparently, is guided by the infinite intelligence that guides the stars and the sun and the moon and the seasons and that this same intelligence dwells in us as intuitive wisdom. And we know that this wisdom shines in our heart like a bright beacon, lighting the way every day, showing us where the path of our true nature leads for this lifetime to fulfillment to letting go of what is no longer useful. Letting go the greatest act of generosity is letting go. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. May each and every one of us continue on the wonderful adventure of this human life to fulfill our destiny as contributors to the new dawn of human awareness, where we live in harmony with each other and with all expressions of life, and we give thanks for all our brothers and sisters, not only all human beings, but all living beings, that we are all one family with one source, living through all of us, and that we awaken to our purpose, the unique purpose for this life, the unique piece of the puzzle that we are here to contribute for the benefit of the entire web of life. And we give thanks knowing that there are benevolent beings opening doorways in the inner and the outer worlds to create the pathway to fulfillment beyond the dualism that brings misunderstanding and fear, that abiding in our heart is the great loving kindness based on understanding our true nature. And so now we just begin to close our meditation by feeling our unity together, the Sangha, doing our best to embody vegan living, ahimsa, to be homo ahimsa, the human being of loving kindness and compassion. And so as we exhale together, we radiate into the infinite web of relations, the light of loving kindness for all living beings. And see the whole web of life filled with the light of loving kindness and benevolence. With every exhalation, we radiate compassion for all living beings May they be free from suffering. And together we radiate joy, the great joy that bubbles like a bubbling spring at the very core of our being, the joy that needs no reasons. As we exhale together, we radiate joy to all living beings. May all beings abide in the joy of being, of awareness, of truth. And finally, as we breathe together, we radiate peace and harmony. We are aware of the appearance of war and conflict on planet Earth during these days of suffering and sorrow, of anger and fear, and yet we hold to the truth that beyond the outer forms, the great love and awareness of truth shines not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of all, bringing healing and awakening. And so together, we give thanks for each other, for all of our loved ones, for this precious opportunity of a human birth. And dedicate our lives to building, as best we can, a more enlightened society that cares for everyone. To being part of the awakening of human consciousness during this time. For the benefit of all beings, the past, present, and future. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your participation in our meditation time together. And here we go. So we have a few minutes left, and I'm happy to respond to any comments or questions anyone may have. This is an open time until the hour. So, yeah, we have about a little over half an hour. So if you'd like, if you have any comments or questions about anything in the meditation or that's come up over the last month or last few days or whenever regarding this more the spiritual dimension of our lives, of course that's interconnected with everything, but we're focusing more on that than on the third Thursday where we get into the weeds on what's going on in the world. But I'm happy to share anything, anyone that if you have any questions or comments. And if you don't, then I'm also happy to share a few of my own thoughts. And maybe, just maybe, we can read a little bit from the Dhammapada again. We haven't done that in over a year. We used to do it all the time. It was fun. But, I think, what is it that's coming up right now? I mean, there's so many challenges that we're facing as a species, humanity, and of course we see the specter of war has been going on for quite a while, several years, especially strongly. It's been going on much longer. And as I write in the World Peace Diet, as long as we commit violence and atrocities to animals on a regular basis, it's going to boomerang back into our human experience. And so we're going to see that. I mean, it's unfortunate, but ask the cows and pigs and chickens how they feel about what's going on in their lives at the hands of humans. And so I think, I it's so wonderful to be with you because I think there's no greater gift we can give to contributing to world peace than to promote vegan living and live it, embody it ourselves, and not simply as in the outer form of not purchasing and using animal source products and foods, but at a deeper level, understanding that what life is infinitely interconnected and our welfare is interconnected, and seeing beings when we see beings and not objects. And so for our vegan movement to mature to the point where we're not getting angry and judging and criticizing each other, other human beings are also animals, sentient beings, and to treat each other the same way. So it's an ongoing practice, and I know in my own life it's a continual challenge, of course, to embody veganism and these ideals of kindness and respect for all living beings. It's easier in some ways to do it with animals because they're so innocent, and typically they don't criticize us, blame us, cancel us, betray us in the way that human beings seem to often do. And so I think the whole idea underlying everything really is relationship. And the place we come from, most of us in our lives, we come from the idea that we're relating to others as separate entities. Like, I'm here and I'm relating to you over there. I'm here, I'm relating to that person or that being. And that's actually a delusion in many ways, because there's an underlying unity. Yeah, and like my two fingers, like my hand, you know, these fingers, they can relate to each other like separate little things and kind of get into a fight with each other. But if they could actually, it'd be hard to play the piano if they were doing that. But if we realize that in many ways, you know, we're all fingers on the same hand. And so we tend to look at this, at each other as separate, and we see these, you know, I'm taller than you are, and I'm bigger, I'm stronger than you, and you know. And it's kind of funny to think of our fingers arguing with each other because they're all appendages of one being. And we're the same way, really, as human beings. We have our unique abilities, just like, you know, my forefinger and my third and my ring, and they all have their unique abilities. But it's not that we need to have them competing with each other. And so in our human world, the thing I guess really to understand is we've been wounded from the time we were born, big time, and by a culture with 10,000 years of practicing routine abuse and domination of animals and each other. And we just took it all in, and so our worldview is based on seeing separation and relationship between separates. And that's why I think meditation is so important, because if we can actually have a regular experience, or at least make an effort to have a regular experience on a daily basis of putting, you know, what my old Zen master said, it's like putting the clutch in, you know, kind of like disengaging the gears and just being present. And allowing ourselves to be the awareness, the space, the witness of what's happening in our life, instead of just being the one who's trying to relate to other beings. Because as long as I feel separate, and I see others as separate, and I'm trying to please them or have them do what I want them to do or not do or that I don't want them to do, that my happiness somehow depends on them doing what I want them to do. Now, this is like there's no love possible, really. And there's no actual, it's just an endless conflict. So we're driven back continually to ourselves, that the world in many ways is a mirror of our own consciousness. and people are the same way. And so we think we are good people, but we have bad leaders. You know, oh, that's the problem with the leaders. You know, we have these leaders, they're warmongers. Well, how about us? I mean, are we eating animal foods? Are we a warmonger to the cows and pigs and chickens? Probably. Most people are. So we have, I think the thing is to get to another basis of relationship that's based on unity, where we feel and somehow awaken to the underlying ground of awareness and of being that we share, ultimately. And when we do that, then we can't blame others for our problems, really. Our problems are our own problem. Our problems are from our delusion, basically. If we really awaken, we won't have these problems. And that's something, it's a wonderful thing, right, to realize that it's possible. I remember Thoreau and Walden, that was one of the greatest things, you know, in the book that he wrote, Walden, which I taught for a number of semesters in college. He said something, I'm paraphrasing, but I know of no greater thing than the fact that every human being by their own effort can raise their own awareness, can raise their own consciousness. I mean, he like discovered that by going out there and just being in nature and contemplating and being in the sunshine and the water and the woods and the forest. We can raise our awareness and raise the quality of our consciousness. And when we do that, we help everyone around us. That's the greatest gift in many ways we can give, I think, to others, is making that effort. It's much easier to think, well, if I can get them to change, I'll be happy. So coming back to that. But anyway, I have a hand, and Tammy's not only raising her consciousness, she's raising her hand, too. So go ahead, Tammy, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, the last thing you spoke of, because it ties right in with what I'm saying, you know, to just be out in nature. So we just finished a convergence where, you know, where it was really in our face how quickly the seas are dying. You know, it was on the sea, the ocean, the water. And it's never really been my way since I kind of figured some stuff out in childhood to look at dark for too long or the, you know, I know that we need to speak of it. We need to talk about it. I guess I'm always kind of feel like I'm walking between two worlds of being really aware of what's happening, but knowing that letting myself feel heavy about it is very counterintuitive for me. And so it's that challenge always for me to look, but not get absorbed in the pain of it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Or if there is pain that I'm experiencing, to experience that shock felt pain and then to release it and come back to a vibration of support and love and unity and infinite energy. Yeah. I would just love to hear on that.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I think it's a great, tension that we all have, right? We're, especially as vegans, we're in many ways keenly, painfully aware of the suffering of animals, the suffering of ecosystems, the suffering of hungry people. We're doing the best we can, I think, to not contribute to that. I think it's also important to understand that there are many forces, we're being bombarded by many forces that want us to contract into fear and into negativity, because that's how we're much more easily controlled. And some of these forces look very benevolent, like they're very scientific. They're like the United Nations. They're good, you know. We think they're good. We think they're scientists. They think, you know, we trust them to tell us the truth about how it's really going out in the world, because we don't know, right? So there's a lot of money in painting a bleak picture, because there's really an agenda to make human beings feel like we are a cancer and a curse on this earth in order to dominate and exploit us. So I think it's good to take everything with a grain of salt and also to stay positive. That is essential, because there's tremendous healing powers that we're probably not even aware of And there's just, you know, there's an agenda to promote negativity on a massive scale and to have people feel like things are hopeless. Because when people feel that way, then a tiny elite who wants to treat us like livestock, and they're only 0.1% of the people, then they can do it. As long as we're contracted and afraid and believing experts. We have to believe our own intuition. And that's why we have to meditate and remember for all of the suffering in the world, there's tremendous celebration and joy and kindness and happiness and creativity and beauty. And this, and also that we, this earth, for whatever reason, is going through something, and we came here to contribute to the healing. And so we have a purpose. And if someone, you know, falls down and they have a cut on their knee or whatever, you know, we can freak out about how terrible it is, but our job is to heal. Our job is to be healers. And so we can't necessarily change what's coming in or what we perceive in the outer world, but the tremendous power that we have that we very often, I think, don't really use is the power of our response. That's really the power, the only power, is how do we respond to the situation. And I think it's really important to go deeply into understanding the psychological operations that are being driven on us right now by even people that we trust, that we think are, you know, everything. We need to just question things and then contribute our love. You know, that's it, because we're only here for a few short years. It goes by quickly. So that's kind of, but I really think it's vital that we, you know, like you say, be aware of things that are seem to be happening, but also stay in a positive way and contribute love to in our daily life, like locally, like where we are in our relationships, and in what we're communicating to other people. So, because when we understand what really we are, what life is, it's far greater than anything we even begin to imagine, especially in our society. Western culture is notoriously materialistic. I mean, it's so materialistic. We think if you can't see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, then it doesn't exist. And that creates, that's if you want slaves, that's what you keep telling them over and over again. And that enslaving mentality of materialism pervades everything. It pervades our education. Look what happens in school. You grow up as a kid, and what's the teacher doing? The teacher's always asking questions. And the teacher wants you to give the right answer. And if you don't give the right answer, then you get a bad grade. So we're trained from infancy to look for approval and to try to be right. And because that's the only way we get ahead. That's the opposite of really cultivating critical awareness and creativity and intuition and our own unique capacity. We don't realize the degree to which, our capacities have been reduced by the educational system and by the culture in general, eating animal foods and just disconnecting and reducing our sensitivity to everything, and learning to just trust authorities no matter what. No, don't trust authorities. I mean, they're paid. They're all paid. I mean, that's what I learned in my PhD at Berkeley. You know, everything is bought and paid for. And very often, the ones you trust the most are the most paid off. So we have to really, it's not easy. I mean, it's definitely not easy. We have to really cultivate our discriminating awareness wisdom. It's called in the Buddhist tradition. Discriminating awareness wisdom requires meditation, critical thinking, rationality, and empathy. Really, it's not easy, but we can do it. I think we can, and we're seeing it happen. I think more and more people are waking up and seeing beyond the psyops that are everywhere. Okay, thank you. Yes, Kelly, you have your hand up also.
Will? Hello?
Oh, okay, somebody,
hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Is this Lily?
It's Lily. Did somebody see? You can't see me raise my hand because I'm not on Zoom. It's very frustrating.
Okay.
For me.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lily.
I'm, you know, because you were talking in your talk about all the influences in our life, and I am so grateful to my husband for taking me for 35 years backpacking in the Sierras so that I became a nature mystic and am able to live here in the hills, in the mountains of Humboldt County alone. Now that he's gone now 11 months, he's on a trip. I ask him every day, I say, where are you, Jim? Where have you gone to? But he did die in my arms, so that was good. And I'm grateful for the influence of the World Peace Diet, because if it hadn't been for my husband hearing Will on the radio and saying, let's order this book, I would not be a vegan today. And that was 17 years ago, and I would not be a vegan. And that's one of the great opportunities. It is a great opportunity for me in my life to be a vegan, to be part of the solution. And when I hear the people on the news saying, oh, they're treating us like animals, you know, oh, I just go, come on, people. That's what it's all about. If you'd stop treating animals like they're different from you, you wouldn't be in this situation. I really feel that what's going on with the human race is always comes back to what we do to torture these innocent victims that we have power over. So I am so grateful to the World Peace Diet. I read it 8 times. I read it 4 times aloud with my husband before meals, and then I read it 4 times in a group that I led for almost 5 years where we studied it. And it's one of the great things that I can offer people. When people call, and I am in touch with the world, and when people call me and say, oh, I understand you're a vegan, well, tell me about it, I immediately refer them to this brilliant book that is life-changing. It's definitely one of my Bibles. It's my main Bible, because it changed my whole life from the inside out, truly from the inside out. Because what you eat does affect your whole consciousness. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Will Tuttle. Thank you for offering yourself up to the message of the World Peace Diet and then putting it down on paper and giving it to the world. It's a wonderful thing to have in the world. It really is. If anybody hasn't read it in a while, I've been going over it again lately, and it's absolutely marvelous. It's brilliant. Thank you so much, Will, and I wish you and Madeline a wonderful, safe, and happy journey for the next 5 months.
Right. Thank you, Lily. Thanks. I appreciate your sharing that. You know, it's I spent pretty much the whole afternoon lifting boxes and packages of World Peace Diet books onto the roof of the van. So when we go and give talks, people can buy them and I can sign them and people can read the book, and hopefully, and like you say, when we actually go vegan, which it doesn't sound like a big thing, but it actually, in our society, it's a big deal. To actually be a consequent vegan, to say, I am not going to comply with the cultural narrative of taking out my wallet and paying for the terrible abuse and exploitation of cows and pigs and chickens and fishes and all these other animals, and not buy products tested on animals or that use them for entertainment and other products. It's really a transformation at the very deepest part of our being if we let open to it all the way and commit to it. And then we just become a radiating presence in the world that naturally helps others to make the same thing, to make the same choice. It's the best way, I think, to exemplify the yearning for peace is to give peace to those who are so vulnerable and at our mercy. And until humanity learns that, we're going to be continuing to experience the results of disease and violence in our human world from each other. And that's from that misunderstanding. So thank you for always championing the foundational roots. Like Thoreau again, Thoreau said, for 1,000 that are hacking at the branches of evil, there's only one hacking at the root. And that is the root, I think. It is
it is
invisible Everybody ignores the horrors of millions of slaughtered and sexually abused animals every day.
One thing isn't said on it on public, on radio. And I'm not into television out here. I just have the radio, and I try not to listen to it. But not one word is said about the root, and it is the root. There's no question about it to me. It's the root of it's the root of all the evil that's going on here. Is the domination and torture these beautiful beings that are here?
Right.
that we forced to be here because of artificial insemination and all. It's just so ugly. It's just such an ugly way to be. How can we have a beautiful world with these kinds of ugly practices going on, and then the suffering that it, and it's all for appetite. It's all it's for.
Well, yeah, and it's mainly, I think, people are just following orders. They're just doing what they've been taught to do, and it's very inspiring to know that we don't have to, and it's inspiring to have you with us, Lily, too, because I really thank you for you have no cell phone, you have no computer, you're just living in many ways the way I think in a way we'd be a lot better if we did, getting back to a simpler way of living. So thanks for
for
your
presence.
It's simple
out here. You've been here, so you know how simple.
I know. It's beautiful. Yeah, out on a dirt road. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in the rainforest. I'll hang up. I mean, I won't hang up, but I'll pass on now. So thank you so much, Will. Thank you,
yes.
Madeline. Thanks for what you do in the world. And your trip sounds absolutely daunting. And I thought that the first time I heard you on the radio, never knew who you were, didn't know anything about you. But when you started to say the kind of trips you went on, and I remember, you were on New Dimensions. And they asked you about that, and I said to my husband, I said, Jim, what kind of person does this? And he says, we're going to get the book, so we'll find out. I'm glad I found out. I'm so glad I found out. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know. There's no greater thing than traveling around and spreading the vegan message. I mean, I have to say, it's infinitely energizing. And Madeline's a wonderful companion and trooper with me. And we've done over 4,000 events now. And it just keeps going. But, okay, thanks. So, Kelly, you had your hand up before. Did you want to say something? I know we're getting a little...
Oh, yes. Hi, everyone. This is Kelly, Vegan Kelly from New York. I'm so happy to be part of this family.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. Before, I'm vegetarian 20-plus years, vegan for 6 years now. So I'm really grateful all those people enroll me, share this message to me. And now I'm become the leader in this field also. I enroll people. I enroll my mom. And now, she reversed her appeal to zero, reversed her all diabetes, blood pressure, close to everything. So this is a wonderful gift for my mom. And before I always hear people the game changer and focus on life, but now I can hear what peaceful diet book to the people. Thank you so much. Can I ask my personal well-being question? I'm vegan. I'm low-fat vegan. I don't eat soy and the vegetable oil for 6 years. My liver or pancreas still have maybe organ fat, and my sugar still a little bit high. So do you have any suggesting idea for me, please?
Okay. So it was a little bit hard to understand everything you said, but you said your sugar's a little bit high.
Yes.
On your blood test, and what was the other thing?
Oh yeah, this is it. Maybe it's from liver or pancreas. They have either infection or something. Yes, they cause my sugars high.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I think my experience has been to just eat a very clean, organic, whole food, plant-based diet. And I did in the early, the first, when I was younger, I did some fasting. which I think is oftentimes a good idea, or at least eat a really maybe just some raw food for maybe a month or so that's organic, because the body has lots of chemicals that accumulate, and that can throw everything off, the chemicals, which are everywhere in our society. So it's really helpful to cleanse the body. And being a vegan, if you're eating healthy vegan food, that's naturally cleansing anyway. Fruits and vegetables are naturally cleansing. It's probably good if about half or so, at least, of your food is uncooked. And especially in the beginning, you know, to clean out I think things, should improve. I mean, generally speaking, of course, if you're feeling fine, then, I mean, that's how I feel about it. Like, I don't ever go and get tests from doctors, because they sometimes, the tests make things worse. I mean, I remember, you know, reading, for example, about these people who have lived long lives in Asia, in Okinawa, and they eat a mostly vegan diet, and they're very healthy, and they work hard in the garden, and they have social relations, and they live into 90 or 100 years old, 105, 110, and they never see doctors. No doctors are around. But then some doctors went there and they started testing the people's blood, these old healthy people, and they said, oh no, this is too high and that's too low, and they got all worried and oh no, you know, and then they didn't live long anymore. So sometimes it's better like to not know, you know, unless you really have a serious problem. Like, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, quite honestly, but we have to kind of go. But thank you. It's so great to have you with us. Thanks. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I heard you promote organic vegan for also. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right. Yes, Gino.
Hi, everyone. Just to echo a little bit about what Lily said, I believe that was her name. Yesterday was my 10th anniversary of being vegan, which happened to fall on World Vegan Day. How did I do
that? Right, great.
And about a month into it, I was reading everything I could possibly read, so I would know everything I could possibly know, and then I could communicate everything to people who weren't vegan, and I could respond to their questions, and I was just so excited about everything. And of course, one of the very first books I read was The World Peace Diet, and I gained so much from that. Then I went on to take your courses for a facilitator. And I did that in a flash. I got through the course, and I wrote to you, and you said, Gino, I can't believe you got through that course so fast. But I was so excited to do that, right? And, you know, that led me to doing tons of activism with Direct Action Everywhere in Berkeley, because I lived in San Francisco, and then continuing my activities to a little lesser degree, because I'm getting a lot older now, up here in down here in San Diego. So I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but Wayne Shung, one of the co-founders of Direct Action Everywhere, has been on trial for 9 weeks in Sonoma County for that he was leading, not taking, animals from some farms, from a duck farm and a chicken farm, and they had filmed a lot of the conditions there. And so he, this was 6 years ago, and then at the end of the 6 years, they had whittled it down just to Wayne that they were going to focus on, because they felt if they got Wayne, then DXA would end, which, of course, we know is ridiculous. So anyway, today he was found guilty after 9 days of deliberation, huge. And so he was found guilty on 3 out of the 4 counts, and he's now in custody. And he will be in custody till the 29th of this, or 30th of this month, and then they will read the verdict of what he'll be doing. There's an excellent chance that he could be in prison for at least 2 years. And this man didn't even go into the farm. They just saw that he was the leader, and they wanted to, you know, get him. So this is like some of the bad stuff that's going on. So even in the legal system, it was extremely unjust all through the whole thing. The judge, everybody was big ag, you could tell. So that's also going on in the midst of warfare and all of this. If any of you have heard of this or haven't heard of it, you want to just send him good thoughts, peaceful thoughts. Wayne did do a video early this morning and saying that, you know, he may be convicted or he may not. But he, as Wayne will do, he also offered up great peace for the judge and the prosecutor, which is amazing. It was very Martin Luther King-ish what he did. And so there are some excellent, beautiful people in the animal rights movement and animal rescue movement. So just thought you should all know about that.
Right. Thank you so much, Gino. Yes, I heard that today was going to be the verdict, and I was out working all day, but I had a feeling that it might go that way. I've been following it somewhat. It's not far from where I live. I mean, I'm in Lake County, and Sonoma County is one county over. And I have a good friend who's been going every single day into the courtroom to support him, Wayne. And Wayne is a pretty good friend of ours. I mean, I've done quite a few talks for DXC over the years and got to know him when they had the DXC headquarters in Oakland, Jack London Square, and then they moved up into Berkeley and spoke for their annual gatherings and on their marches and things. And I always admired his deep commitment, not only deep commitment to the animals, but also to finding a good way to really make positive changes in humans' treatment of animals and using the legal system, because he's a lawyer. I think that it's sort of natural for him, and really the tremendous courage. And I think, you know, everybody knows that there was one in Utah, I think another one where everyone was cleared. They were found not guilty, and it was these great victories, it seemed like, for the animals. But I think maybe, I mean, even though he's paying a price, this may be a great victory also, because it's going to raise awareness,
yeah.
I think. But it also makes it important for us to be aware that there's actually an agenda, I think, to try to take down the leaders of the animal rights movement, to try to just put them away or discourage anyone from speaking up or doing anything. And that's why it's important not to be afraid. I mean, you know, he's a great example of just standing up and doing something to rescue animals. So I think it's a great idea to send him our loving prayers and support, not only now, but during the next couple of years if he's actually in prison, and to keep the pressure on. Absolutely. Well,
thank you
for sharing
that.
I appreciate it. So let's see. Well, it's actually it's been an hour. How's everybody doing? It's been great to see you, to be together. I like to close our time. I know it's basically the last time we're going to be here, but I want to mention this actually right now. Next, the third Thursday. Okay, the third Thursday of November, we are not going to be able to do our third Thursday call on that day. We decided the only day we can do it, because the following, the fourth Thursday, is Thanksgiving Day itself, which is not a good idea. But the day before the third Thursday, the Wednesday, I think it's the 16th maybe, whatever it is, we'll do it then. So I'll send out a notice. But those of you who don't get the emails or whatever, for this month only, we have such a booked schedule, and there was the people in Columbia, Missouri, they really wanted to have us give a talk there. So we'll be doing the third Thursday from Judy Carman's beautiful abode there in Lawrence, Kansas, on the third Wednesday of the month. I guess it's the third, third Wednesday. All right, so that's the I just want to let everybody know that, and we're busily getting ready for this journey, and I want to encourage everyone to continue all the outreach that you're doing to help support the liberation of animals and human beings, and also the in-reach, to take time every day to reach inside, to connect with the infinite love that is the source of our life, and let that, and see that in others, really to see the best in others. People have been programmed, people have been wounded, but to see beyond that, if we can. So Madeline, she's busy making something in the kitchen, but she'll be here in a second. So we'd like to close with our prayer, which is from the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, which is at circleofcompassion.org. And so our ritual that we do together is if you unmute your microphone so we can all actually hear each other's beautiful voices, and and we say this, yeah, it's a very simple, easy prayer. And we'd like to say it three times. Oh, is that Michael in the background?
Yeah.
Oh, there is Michael. Hi, Michael. All right. Yeah, thank you, everyone, for joining. So let's go. Let's say it together. Here we go. Compassion and circles for all beings everywhere. And we know it's true. Let's do it one more time with feeling. Absolutely. Compassion, circles for all beings everywhere. Yay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you in 2 weeks minus one day. On Wednesday, the third Wednesday, we'll be in Kansas. All right, much love. Thank you. Go forth and multiply the message.
Thank
much
you,
love.
Will.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, bye. Thanks.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to see you all.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Thanks for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.